Business Roll Call. Jim Patrick here. Bill Brannigan?
Here.
Lee Hardy?
Here.
Bob Berman?
Here.
Jim Hasselman doesn't appear to be here yet. Gary East, not here yet. Braulio Escobar?
Here.
Dustin Capri?
Here.
And Greg Sutton?
He is coming in right now.
Yeah, I see him coming. Okay, first up is unfinished business, 2A, receipt of adoption draft of the Newport Transportation System Plan. Eric.
Yeah, thank you. Derek Tokos, Community Development. I'm going to just pop up a shared screen with the executive summary as it's been modified based on the feedback from the Project Advisory Committee. My plan is just to simply kind of run through briefly with the executive summary, which is what the subject of their last meeting was principally. Talk a little bit about process and some of the additional changes that are going to still need to be made to the document before it's all said and done. We have enough budget for one more full round of revisions by the consultants. So what we're doing now is just kind of running a tracking sheet along with this that lists some of the additional changes that will be made before the document's finalized. And I can touch on that as well, because we've made a few changes to that too, which I'll bring up. But you have the full transportation system plan as well. You know, this at this point, the Project Advisory Committee's work is done, and they've transmitted it to you to initiate the legislative process. And I'll kind of go through what the procedural steps are. And I actually have their full recommendation motion that I'll have for you as well. I'm going to do a shared screen here real quick and bring up the executive summary. You should be able to see that, and hopefully it's legible. This started out as 35 some odd pages, but it's now down to 16. The Project Advisory Committee had asked that the maps and project list for the fiscally constrained list of projects be moved to an appendix, that it wasn't really an appropriate place to place them in the executive summary. So I won't be going over those. They're not in this document. On critical community issues, I think one of the areas that was clarified, you know, identifying the city's role in supporting emergency transportation technology. But again, these critical community issues were issues that had been addressed upfront in the planning process, and are issues we have tried to address as best we can through this process. The document then goes on to kind of outline what the different chapters are in the transportation system plan. Some of the key focus areas, which include the US 101 and 20 corridors, downtown, the bridge, natural hazards, such as the areas up in Agate Beach where we have the slope instability issues. It then kind of goes through and kind of summarizes what's in each kind of chapter two of the transportation plan, focusing on goals and objectives, decision-making structure, and the public engagement that was done through this process. Chapter three gets into the existing and forecasted conditions. And so they summarize what some of that is here. Anticipated growth, performance issues on the transportation system, performance issues relative to walking and cycling. Jim Hanselman's coming in now. Transit, we spent a little bit of time talking about that with the committee. Freight. Waterways, They've added language regarding the international terminal. Then it talks a little bit about system design and management principles, some of the changes we made relative to street functional classification, which tells us how big a new street needs to be, what kind of features it needs to have. You know, we do have the shared streets concept is in here, which is, or we call the shared street or yield street for the low volume streets. That's new for us. We've spent some time talking about that in work session. Gary's coming in now. And, you know, it has the details of that. Talked a little bit about lifeline routes, mobility standards, multimodal connectivity, funding. Fiscally constrained package picks up about $76 million in available funding over the planning period, with an additional $3 million or so from South Beach Urban Renewal. So when we look at a fiscally constrained list, that's the pool of funds we're looking at, as opposed to the total list of projects, which comes up to over $220 million. Then we talked a little bit about some of the focus areas through this, about a desire to make infrastructure investments, street and transportation system investments in our downtown area or city center area in a manner that's going to help catalyze redevelopment. Talk a little bit about that. Similar discussion with respect to US 20 and what some of the options are with each. As we move into the planning, public adoption phase, you still have two options for US 101 in the plan. One would be maintaining two-way travel on 101, but putting in a bike facility on 9th, which would remove parking there. The two-way traffic movement on 101 would also remove parking where it still exists through the downtown area, or the short couplet concept, which would start at Fall Street, run about four blocks, and then merge back in. That one would be one-way northbound on 9th, one-way southbound on the existing 101 alignment, with sidewalks being pulled out, bike lanes being added to both, and parking on both. US 20, the recommendation was to maintain its existing two-way alignment, and there's a cross-section in there for that. We added in summary paragraphs with respect to US 20 and 101. That wasn't in the draft that you saw, but it was requested by the advisory committee, along with some language about the different trade-offs we've evaluated for the 9th Street extension and Ocean View Drive. And one of the additional project options that's going to be added into the final revision is if the community, when we do actually have funding for improvements to Nye and Ocean View, we have the option of just doing a bike ped connection Nye to Ocean View, which would leave Ocean View with two-way traffic, or we have the option of diverting vehicle traffic onto Nye, which would then allow a portion of Ocean View to be converted to one-way southbound with a multi-use path or two-way bike lane on it. So I think the thought process here is there should be options, because these neighborhoods have not been engaged in the level of detail that, you know, you would like for a project of that, you know, significance. And so, you know, again, if and when we get to a point where we can fund that project, we would be doing preliminary design, doing direct outreach to the affected property owners, renters, and others, you know, along Nye, Ocean View. And at that point, kind of sort out which approach makes the most sense. Yeah, we talked about mobility targets, and then we talked about the fiscally constrained projects being moved to an appendices, which is what they're doing at this point. And then we talked about some of the implementation actions, and you'll see a number of them that have been added at the bottom. You know, certainly pursuing options where feasible to supplement our local transportation funding is something we want to pursue. And this stuff would end up as, you know, part of our goals and strategies in an implementing ordinance if you want to see where this lands. You have neighborhood traffic management, or we call it NTM. We put in a whole new neighborhood collector program to identify those streets where traffic calming is appropriate. We did have, I believe Roland raised this issue, just confirming that all of the major streets in and around Nye Beach, Coast, Third, so on and so forth, are identified as neighborhood collectors and eligible for traffic calming. He had asked for confirmation. We were able to confirm that. But yeah, where a street is identified as a neighborhood collector, it's eligible for curb extensions or other forms of traffic calming, which is something that, you know, we're going to need to put a program in place for that decision-making process. We'll need to update our code to put in a number of new standards, many of which you've already reviewed in work session, but I'll need to put those in ordinance code format. Same with changes to the city's traffic impact analysis, which again, you've had a chance to look at in previous work session, but will be brought forward again in work sessions for you to take a look at. And mobility standards, which will have to actually go to the Oregon Transportation Commission. That was a question that we hadn't answered at the PAC meeting, but have now confirmed. So we'll be updating our comprehensive plan. That's the one, the big task. That's the ordinance, frankly, that's going to be in front of the Planning Commission, is an ordinance amending the Newport Comprehensive Plan to adopt the transportation system plan as an official city plan, and then to put in the goals and strategies we're seeking to pursue, and we'll be pulling that language out of this plan. We will add some language in there emphasizing that as a city seeks to acquire right of way, we will take into consideration larger parcel impact and provide fair market compensation for such impacts. Now, we have an obligation to do that under the law, but it doesn't hurt for us to point out that that's our policy anyway. We want to approach these circumstances in as fair a manner as possible, recognizing that when we need to take right-of-way to complete a transportation project, it has impacts on those property owners, and those impacts aren't always limited to just what you're taking. It impacts how the larger parcel can be used, and we need to recognize that. There's some language, and we'll want to beef up our language about the city supporting and promoting emergency transportation technologies where feasible, including the rollout of infrastructure for EV, electric vehicles, which we are currently doing already and anticipate we will continue to do. Require that whatever transportation solutions we implement, particularly in the commercial core areas along US 101 and 20 that are struggling, those transportation solutions must promote economic revitalization in addition to addressing broader transportation issues like improving traffic flow. And then identify the need for project-specific geotechnical analysis up in Agate Beach, in line with the recommendations that were included in a supplemental memo we had, which was from HHPR, you know, that talked a little bit about the underlying geological challenges, particularly in Agate Beach, and things we need to be thinking about when we do a transportation project so that we don't exacerbate the existing conditions. Bob, do you have anything else you'd like, since you were a member of that project advisory committee, do you have anything else you'd like to add relative to the executive summary?
No, I really don't, other than I think it's important to point out that there will be policy options in a couple of very key areas where consensus of public input was not in sync with the technical analysis and feasibility studies. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be resolved at some point in the future, probably at the time the project is undertaken. But the council and the planning commission really need to be aware that in those particular areas, there are options that are going to have to be considered.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, too, that and we're going to want to reach out as best we can and as broadly as we can to have folks to make sure folks have an opportunity to engage in the public hearings process. And they will see things relative to some of these policy options they probably didn't see as part of the outreach because it wasn't fully developed. And some of the different concepts connected as well as we would have liked to. So folks will have a chance to see this in a more finished and refined form than they did during rounds, you know, the big public outreach rounds 1 and 2. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and stop this and bring up another one here. Yeah, this is the tracking sheet listing where additional changes are going to be made before it's all said and done. Items 1 through 10 were in front of the project advisory committee. Items 11 and 12 were added as a result of the discussion with the project advisory committee. We also made some changes to number 5 that was in your packet on the fly while we were working through issues with the project advisory committee. So the one I really want to feel free to ask questions about any of them, but on 5, this in large part has to do with concerns that Nyla Jevisek brought up relative to San Bayo and 101. And she'd really like, she impressed upon the project advisory committee on multiple occasions that she would like a traffic signal at 101. That was a bridge too far. However, this is where we could go. And we tried to make the language as targeted as possible to those intersections where, you know, the neighborhood really has no alternative route to get onto 101. But San Bayo would be a good example. I neglected to think of it, but Bob Bill 73rd would be another example. You know, you can go down to, not seeing Jim, but your neighborhood would be another example with Wade Way being kind of your only access onto 101. So it's not that you only have one neighborhood that has that circumstance. We have a few, and so they would all fit within the context of what item 5 is looking. So we'll add a project to address that. The two new ones, 11 was to, and I had mentioned that earlier in the executive summary, modifying the Nye Extension project to include the two options, full street connection or bike ped only. And then the other one was just cleaning up the maps with the financially constrained project list moving to the executive summary, which from the executive summary to an appendix. So yeah, you just want to keep in mind that whatever we have on this, and we'll build on this as we go through. So through the public hearing process, if we end up making a change, we'll want to stop and clearly capture that so we get it reflected on this. And you'll have a chance to look at this in whatever form it looks like before you make a recommendation to the city council. So, because I expect you might make some adjustments and or add 1 or 2 or 3, who knows, items to this as a result of the testimony you hear through the public hearings process. And as you've had a little bit more time to kind of digest this large transportation plan and think about some of the different projects in it. I'm going to stop share here, and I'm going to bring up one other item here.
Good for her. She understands.
Moving forward, the project advisory committee's work is done. They've conveyed the package to you. Should you choose to initiate the legislative process tonight, then we will do our required notice to the state Department of Land Conservation Development. We have to do that 35 days in advance of the first public hearing. We have hearing dates penciled in for May 9th and May 23rd. Before the first public hearing, that opens up a couple of work session options on the 11th and the 25th, where we'll bring forward the ordinance that would be really the subject of the hearing. You know, so the ordinance language, adopting in the TSP, modifying our comprehensive plan goals, strategies, that kind of thing. You have a couple of different hearing dates potentially here, May 9th, May 23rd. If you use May 23rd as your final hearing date, that would mean the council is looking at a public hearing on the 20th of June. And they have a couple of work session dates built in there, May 16th and June 6th. You know, this is a legislative process, so none of this has to be fixed. We just want to continue to move the process along in an orderly manner and make sure that our policymaking bodies, both you as a planning commission and the city council, have a reasonable amount of time in work session to get familiar with and comfortable with what's going to be presented at the public hearings. So, so at the end of the project advisory committee meeting, we actually even tweaked the draft of this language I had put together. And this is what the final version was. This is the motion that was made, you know, that the committee recommended the February 2022 draft, which is the current full draft of the transportation system plan with its executive summary, be presented for adoption to the Planning Commission and City Council, recognizing that projects they've discussed, the PAC had discussed, and identified in the plan may be further expanded, refined, and or prioritized as part of the adoption process. So that was the recommendation that was made at the PAC's final meeting Thursday night. And so that's where we're at on this. So Jim, that's all I had. You know, again, this is an opportunity for any of you to ask further questions, or if there's anything specific you want to see as we start this adoption process at work session or council or at the public hearings, just let me know.
Bill, can you mute, please?
Oh, I thought I was. Pardon me.
Okay, anyone have any questions of Derek?
Well, I just have a comment. Having been through this rather massive document in painful detail, and it was painful at times, I think as we approach the work sessions and the public hearings, it would be very useful to have something possibly even higher level than this executive summary, because it turned out to be, as Derek says, now it's down to only 16 pages, that just highlights those areas, I don't want to say that might be controversial, but those areas that are most important. I mean, don't have to discuss every proposed crosswalk or bike lane, but there are certain areas that are really quite important that's going to be critical to have public input on, both during, well, primarily during the hearing process. And I'd love to see some kind of document. I know, Derek, it's not, there's no budget for the consultant to do that. I'd be glad to help with that. But pointing out those major areas like you did in that one section, the 101 and 20 and Harney and 20, and the areas where we've come up with either one solution or multiple solutions that are really going to have a big long-term impact. And to just to sort of summarize it for the general public so they can really understand what it is we're talking about and what it is we'd like input from the community on.
Yeah, 1 and 2 page kind of FAQ.
Yeah.
Or summary.
I agree with you, Bob. It's basically like the big ideas, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and it's not just projects. That shared street section is a pretty significant change, probably worth pointing out too. So some of it changes to standards.
I'm thinking that some people, this will actually be the first time that they engage.
Sure.
Because it's drawing close, so to speak, and they all of a sudden see, oh my golly. So I think a document, as Bob has suggested, would be good on those ideas that have been controversial, or, and maybe that's too strong of a word, just where there's been strong feelings about different options, because those still have to be dealt with by the community and done for the best of the community. So, yeah, I'm all for supporting Bob's concept here.
What would be nice would be to kind of put this, as we engage the community through press releases and so on, direct them to a city website, if you wanted to say, where they could take a look at the high-level document beforehand. Yeah. Otherwise, I mean, even if there's a document and we even hand it out at the work at the public hearings, people aren't going to be able to read it, or they just can't digest it. Some people will do that anyhow, but at least if there's a website, then we can, where they can look ahead of time. Maybe we can ameliorate some of that confusion on the public hearings.
That's fair. And I neglected to mention, we will be updating the project website and getting that relinked. So we'll make sure to get everything up there, but appreciate the thoughts, Bill. I think one of the challenges too you're going to have going through here, particularly on some of these project concepts, is teasing out from testimony what the real concern is. You know, if somebody says, I like solution A, or I don't like solution B, I don't, you know, there's usually a reason for that. You know, it's a concern about, I don't know, pedestrian safety, or, you know, they're, you know, why they don't like it, difficulty navigating the neighborhood, you know, loss of parking. You want to kind of try to look behind, the initial reaction to, what's the individual's core concern here, and are there projects in this package that are addressing those core concerns better than others? Because a lot of folks have opinions on some of these, and there's a lot of work that was done by, DKS and Sarah Architects and others to address a number of these issues. And so you want to put some thought to, okay, here are some of the different packages that are in here, or solutions that are in here, and this is why they were developed the way they are. So kind of peeling the onion a little bit can be tricky, but in this type of context, I think it's going to be pretty important.
My comment had to do with the shared street sections.
Yeah.
I would kind of like to know how much our existing stuff gets anywhere near that standard. Because you look at those standards, and I'm looking at what these streets say they're supposed to look like, and most of our streets don't look like that.
Well, the shared street standard, I think, is pretty close in many respects to what we do have in a number of areas. And we were able to call those out in a prior work session. I still have that information where it's okay, here's the standard we're looking at. Here's how that relates to what we have on the ground in, say, Vista or Golf Course Drive or Rocky Way, or, the list goes on.
I was thinking about the in-town streets. I mean, some of the sidewalk widths that they're talking about don't exist. In fact, a lot of those collector streets don't even have sidewalks. So.
Right.
I mean, the street sections are probably fine. It's the parts on the side that I was higher centering on. Like,
I see.
This doesn't exist. Although the actual, the motorways look right. They don't look that far off. The other thing I thought was interesting, because I remember doing this stuff too many years ago, looking at projections and whatnot, and I could have swore that our, whatever that number is, the median age or whatever the, it's not the average, I think it's median, isn't it? When they talk about the age of the population, I could have swore it back 10 years ago, they were projecting us to be like 54. They were also projecting us to be 11,000 people too at this time. So I mean, we're doing the best job we can with projections, but you might want to point out the projections are only projections, and
right.
you got to deal with what actually can happen. So, any other questions for Derek?
I had one last piece with this agenda item, which has to do with the public testimony. Carla Perry had submitted comments to the Project Advisory Committee on Thursday and the Planning Commission, and she'd asked that these comments be read into the record. So I'm prepared to do that if that's all right, Jim.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So this was from Carla Perry to the Planning Commission and the Transportation System Plan Project Advisory Committee. I thank you for taking time to review the current draft, the February 22 draft of the Newport Transportation System Plan, and to continue fine-tuning workable transportation solutions for the city of Newport. I provided comments last year via the website survey, but I also note that public comment is still being accepted, even though it's not an agenda item at a particular meeting. Clear that traffic congestion at the center of Newport is horrendous and getting worse, especially during peak visitor seasons, which have begun overlapping. I've read the numerous draft iterations of the city's transportation system plan, and they've become, as they become available, but the versions posted on the city's community development page provide plans as they stood in early 2021. Please replace those files with the most recent drafts to make it easier for the public to be aware of where thinking is now. The information contained in the plan is complicated to decipher, with the improvements divided into intersection improvements, roadway extensions, roadway improvements, trail shared use, etc., which means location names reappear in multiple sections of the plan with competing solutions. Here are my specific comments pertaining to the transportation system plan. I'm emphatically against a couplet on Highway 101. Historically, implementing one-way streets in a city's downtown core destroys the small businesses that line Main Street and the side streets, as faster traffic flow deters stopping and parking. The internet is full of numerous instances of cities that had reconfigured at great expense to one-way streets, but are now converting back to two ways in order to encourage the return of small businesses and to improve increasingly unsafe conditions for pedestrians when crossing those speedy one-way streets that move at the pace set by streetlights. The transportation plan for Highway 101 in the city center area is critically tied into city center revitalization, and terms for the transportation growth management plan are still being worked out. I believe a revitalization plan for city center is imperative before something as dramatic as a couplet is imposed, so that it does not limit revitalization possibilities. And certainly the city's housing capacity analysis and production strategy project could affect how city center is rebuilt. Hopefully there will be an effort to redevelop the downtown core with abundant apartments above new small business fronts lining the streets along Highway 101. If it's possible to use a street setback when rebuilding city center, that might provide additional alternatives for traffic amenities. Local transit, bicycle, and pedestrian-friendly routes could be shifted to the proposed couplet streets without impacting businesses through traffic and property lines. I'm against roundabouts on Highway 20 and 101. Middle school and high school students need to cross Highway 20 at Harney, and a roundabout would impact their safety to a high degree. A roundabout on Highway 101 would cause chaos at that intersection as people unfamiliar with using roundabouts stop to ponder what to do. That intersection is also a major pedestrian crossing point for Highway 101. Roundabout at that location would make sense. Oh, excuse me, a roundabout at that location would make an already unsafe situation for pedestrians even more hazardous. Regarding Nye and Ocean View, I'm in favor of clearing out the underbrush on what had been a pedestrian pathway on Nye Street from 17th going north so that it reconnects with Ocean View Drive before Agate Beach and provides an alternative for pedestrians and bicycles. I am for keeping Ocean View Drive two-way with the addition of traffic calming enhancements. For some reason, vehicles rarely stop for pedestrians attempting to cross Ocean View Drive, even at street corners. There are no sidewalks or marked crosswalks on Ocean View between Nye Beach and Agate Beach, so perhaps a low-cost solution to improve safety would be to install marked crossings, striping on the street, every few blocks, and install signs that say yield to pedestrians in crosswalks or similar verbiage. Thank you, Carla Perry.
Okay, Okay, any more additional questions for Derek or comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll, I think. We'll move on to 2B, which is draft housing capacity analysis, reduction strategy, public engagement plan. Derek?
Yes. So I included a copy of the draft public engagement plan in your packet. Thought we could just take a quick few minutes in this work session to kind of go through it, see if you have any comments that you would like to share. We'll be providing it to the Project Advisory Committee, which will be meeting for the first time on April 7th. So if you do have some comments, I'll go ahead and get those incorporated into it before we send those packets out, which we expect to do about the end of the week. So I'm going to bring that up real quick. Should be able to get this, blow this up a little bit for you. Okay, so you know, this, the what we covered in here would be the, you know, what we're trying to accomplish with the engagement. What types of engagement we would work into the program, who's responsible for what, and then you also have the project timeline towards the end. So in terms of what we're trying to get out of public engagement here, a better understanding of Newport's housing needs and residential land challenges, you know, we're looking at identifying barriers to building housing, considering land constraints, regulatory issues, market feasibility, challenges in developing affordable housing. We're looking to identify strategies to help overcome barriers to development of future housing and strategies to achieve fair and equitable housing outcomes. With that in mind, the public involvement process aims to kind of inform and educate the community about housing issues and options to support development of housing, especially affordable housing. The process also aims to consult and involve the community in identifying housing needs and development, as well as identifying and refining strategies to address housing needs. We're looking to ensure community members understand how decisions are made, their concerns are heard, and they know how their feedback influences decisions. We want to reach a wide range of community members who reflect Newport's greater community by employing accessible and appropriate. So we have different kind of categories, you know, groups of people that will be engaged at different levels and times through this process. Certainly community members and housing consumers. We've got developers, both of affordable and market rate housing, service providers, housing services, healthcare, underserved communities, such as the homeless, and then elected and appointed officials. So you have your project advisory committee. I included a list of who all's on that in my memo, and they'll have 9 different meetings where they'll be providing and kind of informing, you know, the development of the product as we go along. We'll be conducting about a dozen interviews with persons either experience, you know, that are provide homeless services, affordable housing developers. We'll be working with Centro de Ayuda and the Latinx community, just some outreach there. And then for public events, the project, we have 5 public events, one of which would be an introduction, because outside of those that, like yourself on the Planning Commission, City Council, that are engaged in city processes, a substantial number of the members of the community don't really know what we're doing here with this housing study, so it needs to be introduced. Then we'd have kind of preliminary results of some of the analysis. Then potential strategies and refining strategies, and then final results. And then, of course, you have towards the tail end of the process, and I don't want to minimize it because we're about to embark on it with the transportation system plan, and it's not, you know, it's the public hearings process where it gets further refined through, you know, the hearings with the Planning Commission and Council. The same will apply here. Roles and responsibilities are pretty typical for what we have for these types of processes, where we're looking for the consultants to generate, you know, the actual substance for the meetings, the work product, you know, which we provide feedback on those materials. And then our staff here at the city will also work the logistics. So preparing, you know, meeting minutes, noticing meetings, that kind of thing. And so you kind of see that peppered throughout. So here's what we have in terms of a schedule. So the first PAC meeting will be here. Then all the PAC meetings are in kind of yellow as they kind of flow down here. So we did a overall project kickoff and site visit where the consultant came out back on March 7th. That was the joint work session you guys had with the council, and various committee members joined in on that work session. But the project advisory committee's first meeting here will be in April for its kickoff. And then it kind of flows through. They'll meet more or less monthly. You know, what we need to do is we need to get the housing capacity analysis completed by the end of the calendar year. That's an obligation that we have under state law. So that actually is a firm timeline. And then the production strategy can be wrapped up sometime in early 2023. And that's what this schedule reflects. So that's a quick overview of the public engagement plan. Do you have any thoughts or comments?
At what point do they take a look at local economics and consider, for example, a livable minimum wage? In other words, address the actual causes for housing, affordable housing shortages, as opposed to putting on Band-Aids?
Well, you're talking about the take a hard look at the socioeconomic conditions of the community, and that would be part of the housing needs assessment. So that's going to happen pretty early in the process. You'd be looking at demographics and socioeconomic circumstances, both current and, you know, projected in terms of kind of what the trends have been.
And that's going to be documented how?
Well, it's going to end up being a component of the plan itself at the end of the day. But, you know, what you would expect to see is, if you're looking at the schedule, the housing needs projection, that's going to be a memo that comes out, and it's going to be documented, and they're going to pull in the different data sources, and you'll have a chance to really take a hard look at that, Lee, in terms of, you know, what data are they pulling in? What assumptions are they making based on that data? And as a member of the project advisory committee, you'll have a chance to throw some darts at that and see what Eco Northwest says, you know, as you bring up, you know, and question some of what they put together. But it'll happen in the housing needs projection. That's task 3 out of 10. So it happens relatively early because we need to, the housing needs projection basically at the end of the day is going to tell us this is what we need in terms of numbers over this period of time. This is how it translates into what we need annually. And that kind of, you know, breaks it across, you know, your price points and renter, owner types of housing, all of that. It's going to get broken down. That answer that for you, Lee?
Well, with one small modification, your assumptions are what drive the questions. Your conclusions are derived from the data.
I think what Lee's saying, traditionally, you know, the free market addressed our housing needs. And what we learned in talking to Dustin, you know, several months ago, is that if you're going to have, you know, affordable housing, that's going to take funding from an outside source, namely the government. And excuse me if I put words in your mouth, Dustin.
No, I mean, unfortunately, with the, what we're seeing in pricing, it's nearly impossible without subsidies.
And I believe, Braulio, I provided you a copy of a slide outlining how that broke down for the 110-unit project, Surfy Village.
Right, you did.
It was about 8, I want to say somewhere between 80 and 85% of the funding for that project was public.
But Derek, and I don't want to undermine the city's contribution to that at all because it was substantial, but the city of Newport can only do so much to front the cost of those projects.
Sure.
Your impact financially is limited because you don't have the funds available to fill a gap between the market value and the cost of construction right now.
Sure. That dovetails back to Lee's concern, is that the community needs to have more living wage jobs in order to have housing.
We need trade schools. We need skill enhancement. We need a better educational system. We need better parenting.
Those are problems that I agree with, but how do you fix them from a planning perspective? It's hard.
How does the Newport Planning Commission address these issues? You know, these are big issues.
Yeah, there are sidebars in terms of what we can address with the housing study, really. And part of this, too, is educating the public about what the city can and can't do.
Yep.
You know.
We don't want to encourage a bunch of population we can't support.
We can require business licenses. Maybe we could require parenting licenses also.
There you go.
Oh, geez.
You first, Bob.
I made my decision 50 years ago about
it. Oh, gosh. Too much information, Bobby.
Other thoughts?
Just briefly, I think I saw on the list of participants that we don't have an alternate. Should Lee not be able to make it, I think we ought to. It's important to have a representation at all the meetings. I'd like to nominate Braulio to do that.
The alternate, not the primary.
Exactly.
I've learned a lot from Lee Hardy over the years. I used to stop in her office and listen to her soliloquies and took them to heart. I'll take on the role as the alternate with Lee.
You guys want to just do a motion of that at the regular meeting?
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions or concerns?
Yeah, as we go through this, is there an opportunity to understand what some of the other communities similar to ours are doing? And how their project is going along, might be able to provide the committee some insights that maybe have been overlooked.
Sure. You're going to see a bit of that too when we look at strategies. That's a strategies discussion about what some of the different strategies are and approaches jurisdictions are taking. We also upfront, I want to emphasize this too, upfront fairly early, we'll go through the range of strategies that we are already pursuing and how those are working. So that there'll be an opportunity to take a look at that too in terms of, okay, what have we implemented? We've done quite a bit. Which of those pieces are working better than others? Do we need to make any adjustments to that too? And we'll absolutely be looking at other communities, Bill. And we all beg, borrow, and steal from each other.
Well, like the consultants pointed out, we're one of the leaders in this, at least in our size of the city. So we've been down the road a lot farther than a lot of other committee, other cities have been. So it's kind of hard to find something that we're not doing that somebody else is doing. So I think we've done a pretty good job at it. It's just hard to make it work.
One thing I do have emphasized with the consultants and will continue through this process is we have to look at, being a community of our size, can we reasonably implement a particular concept? There will be concepts that sound great, but those are concepts that are being done by Portland or Eugene, where they have much more in the way of capacity to do that kind of thing. So we have to, it'll be interesting as we go through that, but it's only from my perspective, you know, whatever we do implement, we want to be able to implement it properly, you know, because if we take on something that we can't reasonably implement, it just frustrates people.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Only other thing I have on our list is an updated Planning Commission work program.
Yeah, and it's just the typical one. I had to shift a couple of hearings items around, and make some adjustments in that regard. That's all I really did. So, again, it's a living document. We adjust it regularly, and we try, when we provide it to you, we also post it to our website so members of the public can take a look at it. And I know there are a number of members of the community who actually do take a look at that to help inform when they want to engage with you guys in terms of, you know, items that are coming up in the future.
And also, well, most of the stuff starting next month, aren't we back on to in-person meetings?
We will be. We'll be going back to in-person meetings and convening in the city council chambers, and we will make accommodations for those who need to participate for whatever reason by video conference. We've got it kind of set up now where we can do that.
Okay. If there's nothing else.
Just briefly, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to apologize. I'm over a friend's house for dinner, and I'm going to sign off now, and I won't be at the regular meeting because I see there is a quorum. Sorry about that. I did not find any corrections that needed to be made to the minutes.
Oh my gosh. Did you tell Sherry?
I did not. I thought I'd surprise her.
I just got a big smile.
Keep smiling.
All right. Thank you all. I'll see you next meeting.
Bye guys. Right. Have a good night.
All right. We'll adjourn the work session and we'll, call to order the Planning Commission here in, I get 6 minutes.